You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. As we celebrate 200 years since Louis Braille invented the reading and writing system for blind and partially sighted people, and with the RNIB's Braille 200 raising the profile and awareness of Braille to both visually impaired and sighted people, here on RNIB Connect Radio, we're chatting with some people who are Braille users to find out what Braille means to them. With that in mind, today we're joined by opera singer Denise Lee and pianist Stephen Andrewsician. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
You're right.
Before we get into Braille and what it means to you, can you tell us about your sight loss, please?
I was born with quite a lot of sight, actually. Having the consultants telling my parents that I wasn't sighted at all, I think they had to prove that I could see rather than the consultants proving that I couldn't. It was RP, so, you know, it's a big umbrella, isn't it? And I was registered blind from about the age of 3. My mum's blind as well, so it's hereditary, although carried on the recessive gene.
I was born without eyes, so it's microphthalmia hollow. So I've got one eye, a very small one in one socket, no light perception. And there is a lot of research about what causes it and why, but there's no answers. So, I mean, there have been various theories over the years, but no idea. That's just the way it is.
And he plays endless tricks with his prosthetics. He never pours me a glass of wine without pretending he's dropped it into the glass.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So how did you both first come to use Braille then?
I was scheduled and, in fact, did go to boarding school when I was just 6 to Licky Grange, which I believe was the Borstal of all of the blind schools. Gone now, burned down in the late 70s, early 80s, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. There's really posh flats built on where it was now. So because my mum was blind, I had a bit of a head start, really. She taught me Braille, and I don't actually remember being taught Braille, but I do remember using it as a very young child and reading, you know, the books that we used to get from the NLB, 10 Tales of Tim Rabbit, which was in about 10 volumes. It would have been a ladybird sized print book, but it came in, you needed a forklift truck to deliver them. So that I do remember, and being really excited when the postman bought a fresh delivery of Braille books. And also, I remember my mum having the radio and TV Times, which they used to come in like a brown paper wrapper. They were that waxy sort of paper, and they were rolled into a scroll. And the Braille was plastic dots. So if I got to it first, I could scratch off dots and change my mum's perception of what was coming up on radio and TV quite considerably.
They say you stand on the shoulder of greats, and in that respect, Dee was one of the first VI children, the first cohort, part of the first cohort that transitioned from sort of obligatory boarding school into mainstream. So yeah, I was one of the first that benefited from that kind of sea change. So I went to a local primary school. They employed somebody to teach me Braille from a very early age. Obviously, now there are whole programs dedicated to teaching kids Braille. I work in education myself now, part-time, so fairly savvy with all that. But yeah, we kind of worked it out as we went along, and I learned Braille in what you call early years now, and I've used it ever since, really.
You're both musicians. Stefan, coming to you first, as a pianist, there are many, many different ways to play piano when you're blind or partially sighted. You can either use keys that have got lots of sharp and flat notes in it just for the tactility of it, or there's also Braille music. So how does Braille come into piano playing?
I'm going to have to confess that I'm
very bad blind,
very lazy, and a very bad blind person. I'm cursed with perfect pitch, which has kind of allowed me to blag my way through a career in music fairly successfully. Principally, I'm trained as a classical accordionist. Piano was really something that I did in order to gain ensemble points at uni and opportunities to work with other people, because until very recently, classical accordion hasn't really been taken that seriously. My Braille music use in music kind of extended as far as using it in choral settings. So I sang in choirs at uni, often sang at the cathedral in Guildford where I was at uni. I knew enough Braille music to be able to get scores from NLB of vocal parts for choral music, and I use them in rehearsals. Very, very useful tool, Braille music, in that respect. But I never had the patience to learn polyphonic Braille music, so stuff that you had to read more than one line at a time.
I think essentially as a musician, if there's an easier way to do something, you will do it because it saves time, it saves labour. And, you know, when you've got huge amounts of music to learn and commit to memory, if Steph's preferred method of learning music is to learn it by ear, then of course he's gonna do it that way.
I mean, there are downsides. You know, your ear isn't always very accurate, and in some types of music, in some more atonal music or with more complex harmonies, you do often have to refer to other systems. So I'll either have to ask someone to tell me what notes are in a certain bar, or I'll get an electronic version of the piece and I'll be able to scroll through it on my computer and be able to listen to specific bits of it. But yeah, I primarily use ear unless I'm singing, and then I'll use Braille score.
Denise, coming to you now, we've touched on vocal music a little bit already, but what's your experience like with it?
Until about 2 years ago, I had enough sight to learn from a print score under a desktop magnifying aid, you know, like a CCTV magnifier. But unfortunately, 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and the treatment destabilized the remaining vision that I have. And I now have not enough usable vision to do that with anymore. So I'm now having to decide what to do. I'm not a good learner by ear because I'm still very much a visual learner, because I've always learned music visually. I'm synesthetic as well. I need to learn Braille music. So I've got to learn to speed learn Braille music in order to be able to learn the repertoire that I'm doing. But then it can be very hard to get hold of the repertoire that I'm working on, because at the moment I'm learning Benjamin Britten's Phaedra, which is quite obscure, quite
horrible.
It's lovely. It's not horrible.
It's a horrible piano part.
Sorry to the shade of Benjamin Britten. Come back and haunt Stefan. I love Phaedra. It's quite modern, and I just don't even know if I'd be able to get it in Braille.
What would you say are the most important thing about Braille for blind or partially sighted people?
Independence. It's so important. Just the ability to be able to read for yourself. You know, you can have letters that come in Braille that otherwise, if they came in print in the past, you would have had to have asked somebody sighted to read for you. And just autonomy. And it must have been, I can only imagine what a breakthrough it was for blind children and blind people in general when Braille was invented, and having gone from not having any access to printed language to suddenly having this whole panorama open up in front of you must have felt, you know, much bigger than when we got talking phones, for example.
200 years on, it's still making blind and partially sighted people's lives easier and making them more independent. My final question for both of you is, if you could sum up what Braille means to you and the impact that it's had on your life.
I use Braille every day. It's changed how I read Braille. I now have a Braille display. I've got an active Braille. Instead of having to carry around huge volumes of Braille books, which I used to do when my older children were little, I've just been on holiday to Scotland and we took the active Braille with us. It was in my rucksack. It's small, low profile, and it had all the Harry Potter books and thousands of other things that I needed to access. And it was the size of what a computer keyboard maybe, and weighs not even a kilo, I wouldn't have thought, you know. So it's so low profile, use it every day, read to my little boy with it, and write it as well. Importantly, I write all my Christmas cards. Everybody's birthday card is written in Braille, and if they moan about it, I say, will you write mine in print? So just learn Braille. Sorry.
I do think it's a really interesting point about digital Braille, because I mean, that has completely changed everything about Braille, because the, you know, one of the biggest arguments that was leveled about the system was that it was a bulky system. Well, it doesn't need to be that now. Things like Orbit readers, relatively accessible price wise. As I said, my part-time job is to go out into schools in our local education authority and teach children how to use electronic Braille devices, which is great because, you know, you're setting that foundation. And there's a whole generation of really ripped postmen who had to drag NLB bags all over the country for blind people. So not only has Braille done things for the visually impaired community, but it's done things for postmen as well. So, you know, what's not to like?
What a place to end it on then. Denise Lee and Stefan Andrzejczyk, thank you so much for joining us here on R&IB Connect Radio.
Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure. Thank you.